Right hand.
It's the Football Hour. Mike Judson, and in the center of it all,
seize every second of this season.
Nick Hardwick.
Yeah, Football Hour with Nick Hardwick, Mondays and Fridays.
Love it.
Nick, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. So, you're ruined by Vetvik?
Kari Vet, yeah.
Ruined you.
Yeah.
He destroyed your fantasy
team.
Oh,
boy. Now I got to go back and just
Turn
readjust.
Turn me up over here.
So much I've got to.
Turn me up. Beat me up.
There you go.
There we are.
Now
there
you're turned up.
Felt like I was talking through Costas, Mike. What's up, boys? Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good weekend?
Oh, great weekend.
Nice. Yeah.
Pool time, beach time, Padres game.
Heaven.
I mean, it's hard to beat.
Fair warning, Nick. Costas a little grumpy today.
Are you grumpy, Pants? I thought you were in a great mood.
I heard you.
You're like, I happen to love Mondays.
You know what you say when you're in a bad mood?
I'm a big Monday guy, too.
When it's a good Monday, you're kind of set to have a good week.
Yeah. Well, and the possibilities are endless on a Monday.
They are.
By the end of the week, those possibilities have been destroyed.
It happens in this business. I couldn't find my keys this morning. I had to text Fletch to let me in.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to let that keep me down.
No, you're here.
Have you been to Donut Bar downtown?
No, but I know of it.
Okay.
And I heard about the donut that you had, the grilled cheese donut.
Nick.
Sounds remarkable.
I know you'd probably want it to be made out of like kale and stuff like that, but
just add some kale.
Just one time. Just, you got to do it.
It was unbelievable.
I know Jamie will co-sign in a heartbeat.
As far as like lifetime meals go, where you put this top fiver?
If I'm on death row, I think I'm ordering it.
Are you?
Yeah, before they put the electrodes to
me. Wow.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Epstein?
Yeah.
But did he order a donut bar grilled cheese?
You know,
donut?
I'm still trying to find out. I'm efforting that as we speak.
It's like
suicide by calorie intake.
Let me tell you what I need. It's suicide by gluttony.
That's pretty good.
We saw that in the movie 7.
Yes.
Yeah, great movie.
Oh my, that's one of my favorites.
It's not really one that you go back and watch, though,
is
it? Nobody goes back and watches 7. That thing's creepy as hell. Yeah.
Halloween.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
What about the new Halloween?
Well, I mean, on Halloween.
Oh, you watched that on Halloween.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's one of the few times. It's not a feel-good story.
Wait, there's a Halloween reboot?
There's a new Halloween, yeah.
Of course, because Hollywood has run out of ideas, except for Quentin Tarantino.
Lack of creativity.
Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I did, yeah.
And?
Oh, it was awesome.
Really,
I loved it. It was total Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. And you love Brad.
I love Brad, and I love Leo. Mm-hmm. And those two together for the first time, I mean, you want to talk about a dream come true?
Yeah.
That was everything. But I left thinking, there's no doubt Brad Pitt is better looking than Leo.
Oh, hands
there's
down.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a stud.
I'd probably co-sign. Whose idea do you think it was that he remove his shirt? Like, it's like, okay. It's
Let's like see you, what you look you like at 50-plus years old.
No, he just had to take his shirt off.
It was probably his idea.
I'm Let's sure see what you just, look like. Sure. Take your shirt
Come
off.
Come on, Costa. And they said the woolly mammoth was extinct. Look at this beast.
You look good, buddy.
Chesty Polo was a fine Marine.
Yeah. Who did you give your triceps to?
You have some big shoulders, and then it stops there.
It does, yeah.
You've got big shoulders, big traps. You got a pretty girthy chest overall. What happens afterwards?
Do you have
some nerve damage?
It's an avalanche of fat down to my waist. So
we like to call it the cascading effect.
What happens if we ask him to take his pants off?
Whoa.
Well, then we just have a pants off dance off.
We would.
I'll join that party.
He's wearing the ugliest shorts I've ever seen. So
well, I thought those were boxers. I wasn't sure those were shorts. I wasn't going to comment. I was just making sure there's no hole in the front.
Oh.
Good for you, bud. Cam Cameron's going to be with us.
Cameron.
Looking forward to this.
Yeah, always love him. He's got a great voice. His voice is so nice. When you listen to Cam, you feel wiser.
He's got a southern twang, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
A bit, yeah. He went to Indiana University. And he still hadn't completely got that out of him.
I actually meant to ask you this last week, but it works out perfect with the, because you heard our discussion today. Patrick Mahomes is out there just balling out, right?
I mean, Travis Kelce, 6 for 7, 44 yards, whatever.
I mean, he's rushing towards the sideline, cuts back towards the center of the field, right at the goal line. It's like, no. He goes down in time, right? And then you've got Derek Carr with his eyeliner standing on the sideline.
Just
got no action.
Why does he got to have eyeliner?
It's just what it looks
like. He's looking like Clint Black over there. That's what Raiders did anyway. Don't they wear eyeliner?
They just wear makeup, period.
He was a fanboy, so he's being part of Raider Nation.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's Judson's go-to. He says he wears eyeliner. He always looks like he's crying. Nick.
He's got wet eyes.
I think it was a colossal risk on Andy Reid's part to have Patrick Mahomes out there, because what is Patrick Mahomes going to do in the preseason that Andy Reid already knows or already doesn't know about him?
Yeah, I guess it all depends what you're trying to get out of these situations, right? So there are two different situations, clearly. Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Raiders, Chiefs. But it's all kind of that mindset of what you do, what you want to get accomplished, and what your mindset is going into it makes you right. So, like, for example, we used to have an offensive line coach who would be like, get the call out, Nick. Just get the call out. I don't care if you're right or wrong. As long as we're all on the same page, you're right. Do you understand how that works? And I was like, yeah, but I want to get the right call out. He's like, no. Just get the call out. The call, if everybody's on the same page, we all understand what we're trying to get out of this pass protection. The quarterback knows who we're responsible for blocking. Means he knows who he's responsible for in pass protection. He can throw hot. He can set adjust. The running back is dialed in. We most likely are going to pick up the blitz or at least get out of it with a healthy quarterback. He's like, you just have to set the call so you know what you're trying to get out of it. And that's kind of Andy Reid's mindset, I'm assuming, in this is, look, we don't want our butts to get flat. Yes, we had the MVP last year in Patrick Mahomes' regular season, one play away from making it to the Super Bowl. We're not where we need to be, so we're not going to go into this thing all casual. I kind of like the mindset from Andy Reid is, let's go get this thing. Let's not be cautious. But I understand your point just as well. It's like, why would you put him out here in a meaningless game when he's got the opportunity to get hit? Because you know these players can't help themselves when they're out on the field. Yeah. And you can't. But this is a new mindset that you're seeing from coaches around the league adopted. And obviously fans are adopting it too, going, why would you put Patrick Mahomes in? Where Sean McVay, Matt Nagy have been the trendsetters. They're like, we're not putting our starters into these preseason games at all.
Yeah.
But old school mindset would say, you play a series in the first game.
Knock the
rust play
off.
a quarter to a half in the second game. You work your way into the third quarter of the third preseason game. And then the fourth preseason game, if you play at all, it's maybe a series.
Right.
And that's it. That's the old school mindset. Andy Reid's got a little bit of that old school about him still. He's not completely new school, although his offense is designed around the new school. So as long as everybody's on the same page with what they're trying to get out of it, then they're fine.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really appreciate what Andy Reid did. We could all very easily go, why would he be out there? But at the same time, it's like, well, why rely on what happened last year as you're preparing for a new season in 2019? And then at the same train of thought, it's like, why would Derek Carr and John Gruden not approach it as, I guess you could go back to last year. It's like, we're 4-12, man. Like, maybe we should go in there and get a little bit more work. And in fact, I would have liked to, and maybe this happened, but I'd love to have seen Derek Carr be like, I want to play in this game.
Sure.
For a guy who feels like he's still fighting for leadership to go in, even play for a series for some success, because Rob, who I thought made a great call in 6 o'clock hour, it's like, maybe Gruden just wanted to see more Mike Glennon. And don't sleep on the great Nathan Peterman.
Oh, there is Peterman. He had a touchdown pass.
He did have a touchdown pass.
They also just got done with 3 days of joint practices against the Rams.
Which should be fun on
that may be the difference, too, with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals is the Chiefs, I don't think they had joint practices going against the Cincinnati Bengals, where the Raiders and the Rams did have
three days
of joint practices, which, like Philip Rivers will tell you, they get 80 plays at game speed, minus you can't hurt me. So when you think about that, it's like you're getting all of the action and none of the potential risk of injury.
In fact, I think we may be able to see a new trend, because if you think about what Sean McVay is doing, now I remember when covering the Chargers here, it seemed like if it happened and you guys did do a joint practice, it happened once. Sean McVay and the Rams, they have been busy because they were just with the Chargers. Philip Rivers said he got more work in over, you know, those two joint practices than he could in any preseason game members in years past. And then the Raiders, and then the Rams are already back to it the week later with joint practices with the Raiders, which they brawled in, which should be fun on Tuesday night.
Yes.
But now it's like
Hard Knocks.
Sean McVay is this where he's tweaking it, where it's not just about preseason games and not playing anybody, but really they're working harder than anybody.
Oh yeah, you're getting more work in those inter squad scrimmages. So we did it twice. We did it once in Dallas, and then Dallas came here and we did it once. And
your whole career.
My whole career.
Sean McVay's done it in back-to-back weeks with the Chargers and then the Raiders.
Yeah, and then the Chargers are getting ready to do it this week against the New Orleans Saints before their preseason game as well. So that is definitely the growing trend.
Yeah.
And I remember going through those three practices with the Dallas Cowboys and then playing in the game against them. It was exhausting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that felt like a week of games because you're going against somebody you don't know. I had a really good nose guard that I had to block every single day in practice, which felt like a game, Jay Ratliff. So you are at a heightened experience anyway, and you don't want to look bad against another team. So you are going really at as close to 100% as you possibly can. You leave those things, it just drained, like mentally drained, emotionally drained, physically drained. So I think the coaches are getting smarter and going, hey, we got 3 days of great practices against these guys. We don't really need to see you much in the games. Although the Chargers did something different in their last preseason game where the starting offensive line, which the starters without Russell Okun and Mike Pouncey wasn't in there, they all worked, some of them, into the fourth quarter.
Is that because it's the biggest question mark for that team?
Huge question mark, yeah. They've got a lot of ground to cover and a short amount of time to cover it.
844-570-1360.
They got a running back that you trade for
somebody. It's the Nick Hardwick Football Hour. He does this with us.
There's not a whole lot of guys that, if you have a good left tackle, you're not willing to let go of it.
That's what I said. It's like, would you really, with the value of linemen, would you really want a running back like Melvin Gordon? I think a lineman is more valuable.
Lineman's more valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the left tackle.
844-570-1360. Was it understood, you mentioned going up against Jay Ratliff, that when you have these joint practices, you two are going to give each other 110%, but nothing's going to go past that? Or was it just tempers would flare and there's no way controlling it? Because we see,
we never got into a fight on our end. But I do remember Quentin Jammer teeing off on a tight end, and it turned into an absolute melee on the other field. Now, we didn't go participate in that because the offense worked in one field, the defense worked on the other field.
Okay.
We didn't know what happened, so we didn't just immediately run over there and jump in, not to mention we're super tired and running 200 yards to another field to get into a big brawl seemed like a terrible idea. But it does happen, but you should have some restraint about you, and the coaching staff should talk you through that before the contest. Hey, let's get everybody together. We're in to get some really good work. We expect intense competition. We also expect there to be some restraint on your behalf.
Right.
If a guy's coming across the middle, let's not lay him out. But Quentin Jammer, he said, whatever.
This is what fascinates me. You know, the coaches are going to go, hey, knock it off. But I have a feeling they are looking at that film and going, okay, who ran in there first?
Sure.
Who got their nose into it to protect their
teammate?
It's
like the dad with the kids out back that are fighting in the trampoline. I do this from experience, and it's like, hey, knock it off out there. And then I look around, and Jamie's not there, and I'm like, who's winning this fight? Like, attaboy, give it to him. All right, hang in there tough, right? Yeah. That's how coaches are. I mean, they'll speak up, and they'll act like you're not supposed to do that, and then in the back of their mind, they're giving the fist pump.
Atta
like,
kid.
Yes!
You've had hundreds of teammates, but you got to look at even the Antonio Brown situation and be like, what the hell? What the hell is going on, right?
What a mess. So we used to have a strength coach, Dave Redding, who would come in, classic dude, like an authentic pair of Levi's jeans. He was the original strength coach in the National Football League. And he had all these expressions that he'd have. And one that always sticks out in my mind, especially in situations like this, is don't be a pain in the ass football player. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Antonio Brown is a pain in the ass football player. It's like if he's not bitching about something, he's bitching about something else. Like he's going to find something that is wrong in every single situation. It's like, does he just love holding out? Is that what he likes doing?
Well, some people think he just does want to be around a training camp.
And he can't really do much with those feet the way they are. That was atrocious.
Gruden is trying to make the point that the feet, the condition that they're in, that's not Antonio's fault.
Let's hear from. Let's get the John Gruden audio, because this is, you know, of all the as tough as John Gruden seems to be, it's like, hey, Khalil, you're gonna hold out. I'm gonna trade you. You're the second best player, you know, in the NFL. But here he is on Antonio Brown.
But I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said. I don't know what anybody's writing or what anybody thinks, but this foot injury wasn't his fault. You know, this was a total accident. It really wasn't his fault. And it's a serious injury. I know some people are smarting at it, but it's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him. And we understand the league's position as well, so we're in a tough spot. And we hope Antonio is back here soon, because he's exciting to be around. I'm excited. I got some plays for him. I hope we can start calling him.
Now, we're in a tough spot because we've got $31 million of dead cap space tied up in Antonio Brown this year, $15 million of dead cap space next year. We are screwed. We can't get rid of Antonio Brown. And by the way, John Gruden, you know he loves just having a weapon like Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Keyshawn Johnson when he was down in Tampa Bay. Khalil Mack's expendable because he's not on his side of the ball.
That's a great point.
Sure.
Offensive mind.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. He's not my guy. He did get rid of Amari Cooper.
How much did you pay
at the time? Didn't look like he was going to turn. He hadn't quite turned the corner yet.
So we're in a tough spot.
Mm. Yeah, I've always paid attention to like what different face masks guys have and if they look cool or not, which has absolutely zero to do with how you are as a football player. But to me, it's always one of those things. I kind of get where Antonio Brown's coming from as far as the comfort of that helmet. And if there's really a distinct difference when he puts the new CTE proof with on.
Antonio.
Did you ever change helmets?
I change all the time. I change like every year. I change mid-season. I mean, I try to refurbish that helmet as often as possible. Now, you did, as an offensive lineman, take pride in, like, and this is stupid in retrospect, the deep ruts. Like, I still have my helmet at my house, and I'm like, yeah, and I don't even know if that helmet had the most scars on it of all the helmets. So it was the one that I kept, and you took pride in that, and which is just ridiculous thinking back. But I'm like, Antonio, how many concussions has this guy had that makes him want to be less safe? Now, Doc Chow will tell you, and I followed his Twitter timeline about this.
Doc's been great on this.
Concussions weren't, or helmets weren't designed to prevent concussions. They were designed to prevent skull fractures. And the new helmets still don't prevent concussions because the guys are fast, they're strong, and the head and the brain doesn't have that tongue that wraps around the neck like a woodpecker.
Right.
So none of
it's woodpeckers, and I think it's the
Rams.
There's two things on earth that are built to play football. One of them is not humans.
Exactly.
Because the tongue wraps around the brain as a seatbelt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. So for me, when I'm thinking about Antonio Brown, I'm like, would you just comply like everybody else in the National Football League? Like, do you have to make a stink? He's threatening retirement. Okay, so you retire and you don't get any of that $30 million of guaranteed contract coming your way. Go ahead, dude. I mean, if that's how it's going to be, go ahead and retire.
Invested.
By the way, he's mad at the NFL. The NFL is trying to make the game safer, and the NFLPA signed off on this whole deal to require the new helmet change.
He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
They gave a one-year buffer. Just, Antonio, go with the flow. Quit being a pain-in-the-ass football player. I mean, to me, this is just ridiculous.
I don't think he's well. I go back to...
I would worry about it, too. Yeah.
Physically or mentally?
Mentally.
Look, if you look in his eyes in the Jeff Darlington interview from his home, again, I don't.
Is this when he had the purple beard and the yellow mustache?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of those times.
Yeah. At 30 years old.
He feels self-destructive to me.
He does, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Like there's something in him, and that can honestly be a side effect of too many head hits,
which traumatic the NFL's brain injury. Trying to protect with the helmet, which he doesn't want.
Everyone's going to say, listen, the Raiders are always going to Raider, and it looks like it's the case with Antonio Brown here. What really scares me is that you have eggshell thin Derek Carr, maybe from a, I just want everyone to like me, and his coach looking at me, and I just want to do this. And then you throw a powder keg like Antonio Brown into...
Yeah.
And I don't care how much of a taskmaster John Gruden is, that's going to go.
And it's just really interesting with Gruden that he's like, hey, we totally got this guy's back on this one. And I think he does realize how fragile Antonio Brown is and how he's got to manage him with kid gloves, right? He's just got to take such good care of him, be on his side, support him, and get him out there.
Rub his tummy.
Can John really show the restraint all through the year that he needs to when really you think how he wants to handle his players? I don't know if this is the way that he actually wants to handle his players. And is he going to be able to do this every single week as something new comes up with Antonio?
He doesn't have Rich Gannon anymore that he can just scream and yell and F you, no F you.
Well, you've seen him change a little bit even in Hard Knocks with Derek Carr.
It's
like,
coming.
I love you, bro. I love you. And coaches
that made me uncomfortable.
Coaches do really have to change. I mean, so for a long time in the NFL, I talked about this with a guy who transitioned out of the NFL. He's kind of in charge of NFL transitions. His name's Keith Elias. He was a running back for the Giants and the Colts. He said his generation, he's 10 years older than me, they were all built on achievement. Like all the coach had to do was go, hey, we're better than them, aren't we? Let's go prove it. And you go, yeah, let's run through a wall for them. And then my generation was built on relationships. So if the coaching staff built a good relationship for you, it wasn't that you wanted to prove you were better than the other team. It was that you wanted to fight for your head coach. And the teams who were willing to fight for their head coach and their position coaches and the guys around them were the ones who were having the most success. Well, the guys now, it's really interesting that they are built on their social media followings.
And how does this affect my brand?
How does this affect the brand? Oh, how do my fans react to this? Not how do our fans react to this? Not how does this affect our team? How does this affect me personally? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it looks like with Antonio Brown. It's kind of, it's in that me, not we mindset, and it's really dangerous. And it could be potentially divisive amongst the Raiders. I guess we'll see if they can hold it all together.
You mean like doing Facebook Live inside the locker room after a playoff victory?
Gonna give
you
a live look in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bad idea.
Cam Cameron, your former offensive coordinator, will join us upcoming. It's a Football Hour with Nick Hardwick, Mondays and Fridays on Extra 1360. Any questions on the text line, 70470, begin with XTRA. Look forward to talking to Cam Cameron. Like his thoughts on Kyler Murray, on what he saw.
Yeah.
Do you think Cam's gonna be a little old school? It's like, too little, man.
Too little.
That dude is just too little.
Oh, yeah. You know what he did tell us. You remember this.
I do.
He said he's got to go to a warm weather climate.
Oh, that's right.
And preferably play indoors for him to find his most success. Well, he's got both at State Farm Stadium.
That's right. He certainly does. Yeah. Cam Cameron.
Loose Cannons coming up today right at 3 p.m. Hartman, Ornberger, and Schaefer with you. Okay, so Antonio Brown. The saga continues through the weekend. Where are we at on the story? We catch you up at 3 p.m. on Extra 1360 and 103.3 FM.
Rolling along with the Nick Hardwick Football Hour every Monday and Friday during the season, 8 to 9. Nick is in studio with us. We are talking nothing but football. And speaking of football, this man has seen a whole lot of football. Cam Cameron back with us here on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. Coach, how's life treating you? Good morning.
Good morning, man. No, life's good. I'm up here in LA and going to be spending a little time at a couple training camps this week. So,
Cam, this morning I had a big problem with Andy Reid having Patrick Mahomes in that first preseason game. Nick and Judson are the mindset, hey, you know, it's maybe Andy Reid wants to see something new, whatever the case may be. Where do you line up? I think it's a tremendous risk for a guy that we already know is spectacular.
You know, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Unless you really know, in my mind, Nick, at least, unless you know how the reps have been in practice and how they practice, with young guys, I would lean more toward playing them, but I'd be very strategic with the plays that I call. And then obviously you got to rely on a guy like Patrick to use some common sense and not put himself in harm's way. But there's risk involved. And, you know, to be honest with you, as coaches for years, we just kind of held our breath, whether we were playing you know, when maybe we shouldn't have been, or whether it's a franchise quarterback, you still kind of hold your breath.
Coach, how difficult is it to call a preseason football game, and what are you ultimately looking to get out of the thing?
Just strictly offensive perspective. I want to test my offensive line. One thing, if you'll remember, there were no chips allowed in preseason. We wanted our tackles to have to do everything. We wanted to create as many one-on-one blocks as we could to see what a guy could do. We also wanted to put offensive linemen at the point of attack. I always felt like I wanted to call plays, whether I called it behind Dealman or whether it was Marcus McNeil or whatever it might be. And then you want to just push the ball to your skill guys. You want to be able to get the ball to your team. You want everybody to be involved, which you kind of do during the year as well. But you want to test people. I remember we had Wes Welker, and it didn't take us long in Arizona to find out he was going to be a really good player because we pushed him the ball. And I just think you push the ball to your skill guys, but then your offensive line, you just kind of have a strategic way of being able to test them in pass protection and test them at the point of attack.
Former Chargers OC Cam Cameron with us on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. Cam, what'd you make of Mighty Mouse, Kyler Murray?
Well, I've known him since he was about ninth grade. And I tell you what, if you could go back, I would encourage any of you, go back and look at his tape starting in ninth grade and watch him all the way through his high school in Island, Texas. Go back and look at his tape when he got to play at Texas A&M. Then go look what his tape looked like at Oklahoma. And he has been that guy. He's poised. He's relaxed. He's accurate. He's got a live arm. He's smart. He's tough. He's got phenomenal short area quickness. He's always been that guy. And I was kind of pleased with what I felt more so than what I saw. But I can't wait to see how this plays out because he is a phenomenal leader and a phenomenal young man. And I give his dad, who was a really good player, and all the people who have been around him for years, a really developing a quality young man. And you can see why he's probably be a starting Major League Baseball player as well.
Cam, does it almost speed up the maturation process for a Kyler Murray when you look at the rest of that Cardinals offense and you come to the conclusion there's really not a lot around him this first go around?
Well, we've seen that play out for over the years, and he will. You never know, guys. When you start looking at people's talent level right now, but what you can't predict is what a guy like this can do collectively. You know, we call this kid has always been that guy that could kind of take his guys and beat your guys and then take your guys and beat his guys. He's got a way to galvanize people. He's got a way to get, he has a feel about him that allows everybody to play a little better than they should. That affects your defense. Your defense plays better when you got a quarterback like this. Your special teams, everything a guy like this can elevate everybody just a little bit. And then collectively, your team plays better. So that's what I can't wait to see if that can happen there because he's done it everywhere he's been so far.
Cam Cameron on Extra 1360. Coach, I'm assuming you said you're up in L.A. to take in some training camp practices. I'm guessing you're going to be watching the Chargers and the Saints. Is that correct?
That's correct. I can't wait. I was with James Collins the other day. I ran down to Irvine, and James, a longtime trainer there and great friend. And then, of course, with Drew coming up and then Philip being there and Pete Carmichael, who was with us.
Right.
And just a bunch of guys. And ran a bunch of guys at the hotel. And just looking forward to watching these two battle out in practice and probably going to swing by the game on Sunday.
Coach, when I think about Philip Rivers and Drew Brees, two aging quarterbacks in the National Football League, we had Philip on a couple of months ago, and he said one of the things he needs to do a better job of is being stronger to finish this season as his numbers started to wane a little bit. And you ask people around football knowledgeable, and I could see it with my own eyes, Drew's arm started to wane a touch towards the end of the season. How as a quarterback's coach, how as an offensive coordinator do you go about managing the workload so their arm could be fresher towards the end of the season heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, great point, Nick. You know, now I think with all the analytics today, the one thing that I think the teams that are really on top of their game understand, once a guy gets over 30, you've got to look at his loads of what it's taking on his legs, but with a quarterback on his arms. I know Drew has a formula. And basically, he starts from game day. Okay, I'm going to do X amount of throws during the game, X amount of throws prior to the game and warm-ups, and then he works his week all the way back. So they're doing the best they can in New Orleans to make sure, and I know Drew's driving a little bit. I don't know if Phillip is doing that per se, because Phillip's always been that guy who wants to do it all and do it all the time. I would think he will, at the same time, just kind of monitor and not waste throws. More is not going to be better for him. So I think the analytics and the ability to chart all that can really tell these guys a lot. And I know Drew's doing that for sure.
Cam, how important or unimportant or somewhere in the middle is Melvin Gordon to the Chargers to be successful?
You know, I'd love to have that answer. I'm not avoiding the answer, but I don't have it. The Chargers have a good football team, and we've seen around the league that teams can lose great running backs and still play at an extremely high level. Is that going to be the case? I don't know. Even the Rams, they have a great back. It gets banged up, and they're still extremely successful because you still got defense, you still have special teams, and if you've got a great quarterback. Look what the Seahawks have now rebounded, and they kind of running back by committee. You look at what New England does, running back by committee. It's not in a salary cap league. It does not make sense to invest, I don't think, that kind of money in one guy when you can do it more with more value doing it by committee. And that'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because these running backs go down quickly, and if you don't have other answers, you're in trouble.
Coach, is this a scenario where, as a coaching staff, you just kind of let the front office handle their business, or is this one where you go and meddle and they're asking for input? How do the inner office, I guess, politics work in this?
It's a great question, and the fact that the reality of it is there's really 32 different ways it's done. And sometimes it's just, okay, coaches, you guys coach, we'll do this. And then some organizations make that clear. So it makes it easy for you as a coach. You just go out there and you coach the guys that are in your meeting room, and you get ready for the guys you have available to play in that upcoming game. Then there's other organizations where, like, an Ozzie Newsome says, hey, I'll let you know, and then he'll pull you in. And now it's Eric DaCosta when I was with the Ravens. But they'll pull you in and just say, what's your thinking here? Where are we at? And if they don't pull you in, you figure they're doing their job, you do yours, and you're all on the same team, and you all have the same goals in mind. But the reality is there's 32 different ways it's done. And obviously the front office and the numbers, Nick, you've been through those contract negotiations. The numbers usually dictate it all.
Cam Cameron, always wonderful insight, and I plan on seeing you up there at training camp at some point this week. Looking forward to it.
That'd be fun. I look forward to it. All right, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Cam. Nick, please thank Cam for all of us when you see him for his time.
I will.
It's such great insight. I want to ask you on the other side, if you've ever been a part of how badly do we need this holdout, or should we send him packing? Like, how much are players, including OCs, defense coordinators, asked about should we sign this guy? How integral, what kind of teammate they are? We'll get to that. Also, there's quite the reaction to shirtless Costa.
Outpouring of love.
I jokingly dared you. Shirt came off. The photo is out.
Shoot or shoot.
We will read some of the tweets coming up next.
103.3.
All right, good times. We are talking football. We are reacting to a shirtless Mike Costa.
You're welcome.
The Football Hour, Nick Hardwick, continues.
So hot.
Nick, we got a couple questions as well.
All right.
Fantasy football.
Oh, yeah, good.
You're up for that?
Oh, sure.
All right. Yeah, virtually, you just say you think to be any good or not, which you're good at.
Sure.
We'll apply that to fantasy football.
Simple yay nay.
But quickly,
I like Matt Camp's advice when it comes to fantasy football.
And we'll have him on Thursday.
Yeah, pick players on good teams.
That's very smart.
Yeah, like David Johnson could have been higher on your list last year. Don't pick David Johnson.
That's the KISS approach, man.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid. Speaking of stupid, there was this conversation.
And now it's time for the show shocker.
If Andy Reid is, if his mindset is, listen, we're going to institute the wishbone this year, and Patrick, I need you out through the first week of the season to see if it works, okay, then I could almost buy it. But no, that's stupidity on his part.
Pop Pop is worked up today, boy.
You guys are just a couple of farts.
Can we get to Pop Pop? How are you feeling today?
Feeling slim, good. Looking good, walking tall. Yeah.
Blood pressure's come down since that moment.
It has.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
Didn't get much higher.
How do we get to a shirtless Costa? Do you remember?
How did we get there?
Brad Pitt took his shirt
that's
off. I was reenacting that scene from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Shirtless Brad Pitt.
That's right. And there you go.
Synonymous. I think my favorite response on Twitter is Fletch. Yeah. It's like I'm looking directly into my future. Bubba Duke
thought he had a mirror in front of him.
Like, Bubba Duke just sent a picture of a polar bear.
Polar bears are badass.
Yeah, they are.
They
I had a fight that I fought a baby grizzly bear last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Go to a dream website and see what that means.
I was punching the tar out of that thing.
No, did it end up ending you or you get away?
No, I got away.
Okay, there you go.
He ended up scampering off.
No, so Nick is convinced that he can kill a full-size grizzly bear.
No, not what? No.
A cub.
No, that's not true.
Yeah. We could take on four grizzly bears.
I do feel like in the smaller black bear version,
okay,
I could be okay.
Yeah,
I could see you like with a Malaysian sun bear having a pretty fair okay, chance.
Yeah, totally. A panda bear,
a panda,
that'd be an easy go.
Maybe a koala, but a black word. Bear.
Yeah. A black bear.
Ooh, I don't know.
A little one, like teen black bear. They're like 300 pounds.
Okay.
I got a fighting chance, man.
Okay.
Don't count me out.
All right, I won't.
They don't get any kinder. Funny how it looks like a guy that Chris Hansen would ask to have a seat.
That is the winner.
Or did he?
Funny how. No, I don't know. This is definitely the body type of a serial cheese molester. Hector, this is what Ivan Drago looked like when those steroids wore off.
Oh, man. Drago looked good in the last Creed.
Brian, I thought I felt the gravity shift a little bit.
Hey.
And Vinny. Vinny's I like Vinny's. It's so odd. Is this Mike Allstott?
Yeah, I dig that.
I wish I was Mike Allstott.
That's what you do when you get off the show. You just push the car up the ramp there.
That's all
the
he did. That's right.
That was Mike Allstott in Purdue.
And some,
that's what he would do.
And a couple of curls, and you're good to go.
You're all set. Well, you have skipped the curls. You've opted for the shoulder press.
I have.
Yeah.
Your tricep and your bicep region. Not as strong as the shoulder and chest region.
I've got to sign up at one of your places and come in.
Come on in.
For a little do-over.
Come on in. Renegade Fit Camp. RenegadeFit.com.
I'm getting cold sweats just thinking about it.
I know.
You'll be okay. Take it at your own pace.
What are the length of the classes?
45 minutes.
All right, Costa, we'll do 5.
Yeah.
Good.
We'll start with
You do what we call one block. 15 minutes. You can make it through.
Nick's sitting there goes,
in the weightlifting zone.
Time out. You got to put down the grilled cheese donut. I need like, both your hands free.
Carbon up.
It should be like a high school football game. It should be like a high school football game. Ambulance on site.
Gotta have one.
Clear!
It's like, he's good. Bring him back. Needs more cheese.
Were you ever asked about holdouts and how bad you need a guy?
We had a couple of important holdouts. We had Vincent Jackson held out once. My second year, this was a really costly holdout. Antonio Gates held out. And then, not wisely, A.J. Smith, because of the holdout, suspended him for a week.
So we
ended up losing early in the season to the Dallas Cowboys. Well, we went on that year to go 9-7. And I think we were a touchdown short of the Cowboys. Would have been 10-6, maybe 3 points short of the Cowboys. 10-6, playoff team. So that's just cutting off your nose in spite of your face right there. But I do remember those happening and being asked about them. But as players, we didn't really take any exception to it. We just kind of moved along. There wasn't a moment where it's like, what are we going to do without him? Like, we just thought, okay, he's not here. He's handling his business. And honestly, we just kind of treat it like the guy was injured.
But when he got
suspended,
though.
When you're not injured,
though,
you're not around. You just move along.
But when AJ suspends him, are you guys like, what the F are you doing?
What are we doing here? That's what everybody was thinking. What are we doing here? And then we lose the game. And of course, everybody's looking at 85 standing on the sidelines like, well, that didn't have to happen.
It's like it was their ticket slogan every year. What are we doing here?
Wasn't that stupid? I mean, he deserved more money. You ended up giving him the money, but still you had to get the win, which should have given the ownership group a look into the ego of the general manager at the time, which got in the way after we went 14-2 and you fire Marty Schottenheimer.
You like Josh Jacobs? That was one of the fancy questions.
I like Josh Jacobs, yeah.
Not on a good team, though.
Could be.
You don't know.
I like that offensive line.
I think they're on a terrible team.
You think so?
It's always easy to go negative.
So. I don't think so. I think that the league, is trending younger. They have 10 first-round draft picks,
yeah,
right? 4 first-round draft picks. You saw how impactful Derwin James was last year for the Chargers. I mean, if you can get that with those 4 players combined and probably a little bit more, Raiders are looking all right, and I like their offensive line overall.
Nick, enjoyed it, buddy. See you Friday. Costa, we have a thank today.
Mick Mixon, Kevin Acey, Cam Cameron, PodSportsSD.com, Mudflap. Last but not least, you brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces, for what you do, what you've done for us. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everybody. What do you say we again? Do it again tomorrow. Herds next. Extra 1360, Fox Sports San Diego.